Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, help us to abide in you, to remain connected to you as the source and strength of our lives, to be those branches the Father cleans through pruning so we bear fruit, much fruit, that shows we are your disciples, that we truly are your disciples. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 8. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Bearing fruit is to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that look like, bearing fruit? Being disciples that bear fruit, what does that really look like? Well, here's some examples. Seeing dirty dishes before you from serving meals. That looks like being a disciple that bears fruit. Dealing with smelly garbage that you carry out at the extent of your hand from cleaning up a room that is messy. Scraping and painting a house. Unloading bottles and bottles and bottles and bottles of water after case of water after case of water just to load it back on another truck and another truck a case of water, case of water. That is being a disciple bearing fruit. Walking into the church and smiling as you see those chalk drawings on the sidewalk. And then walking into the fellowship hall and seeing the carpet sparkle back at you in various colors. Even after vacuuming and vacuuming and vacuuming, you're smiling at those colors and you're smiling at the birthday cake that got ground into the carpet. And you're smiling at the smudges of little handprints on the glass doors. All of those are signs of bearing fruit. I've been in places of worship where these kinds of messes really aren't welcomed. Here, I want you to see that these messes are a result of us bearing fruit. From the message, the smudges, the glitter in the carpet, they're evidence families have been here. Families that we are pouring the Lord Jesus Christ into. Pouring Christ into the children's hearts. Making Jesus real to moms and dads and their extended families. I ask you, what is your reaction to messes? Is it uneasiness? Or celebration that Jesus is being poured into people's lives? Think on that one. Are you uneasy at messes? Or can you rejoice because people are experiencing Jesus through the ministry we do? Jesus said, I am the true vine. That word translated is true before the word vine. It's an exceedingly important word. And what it means, Jesus is the real thing, the genuine vine. What Jesus offers to you can be found nowhere else. Only Jesus provides the things of life that you truly need, that you need in the deepest part of who you are. The very sap needed for your soul to become fully alive and produce fruit. The Father watches over the vine and watches over the branches, and the Father is the one that tends to them. The Father is looking at how you are living life, looking for the fruit that come from living out the faith in Jesus Christ. You don't bear fruit for Jesus Christ, taken away. Bearing the fruit of faith, the Father looks at your life and then tends to you. Does in your life what needs to be done in such a manner that you will bear more fruit. You are pruned. Part of you is taken away so that other part of you that God is growing grows even more richly and deeply. The part taken away is hindering your growth to produce more fruit. So God removes it, takes it away, prunes you, so you produce more fruit. The word translated as prune literally means cleansing of filth and impurity, such as taking away the useless shoots off of a vine. The distractions and the direction your life may be going, they will be pruned to change the way your life is going, to change what you are doing. And it's all done with a fatherly eye. The Father is in the process of changing your life so that you bear much more fruit. Believing in Jesus is the beginning. Growing in Jesus is necessary. Becoming more and more like Jesus Christ every day, that is what is to take place. You simply cannot add Jesus to your life and expect not to be changed. You bring Jesus into your life, you will be changed. You will be pruned. The Father loves you too much to leave you as you are. The Father wants you to bear much fruit. Now, there is an advantage to reading the Bible in the original languages, in the Aramaic, the Hebrew, the Greek. There's advantages in doing that because there you see the nuances of the words, the meanings that these nuances of the words are doing. You can see them in the Greek. In verse 2 and verse 3 of John chapter 15, there is that happening in the Greek. The two words, there's a subtlety in verse 2 and verse 3. The English words we read are prune and clean. That's the English words we read. The Greek words are kathero and katheros. Kathero and katheros. Kathero, prune. Katheros, clean. And so in those two things, you hear the same word, different tense. Prune is a verb. And it means to make clean by purging, pruning, removing what is undesirable. Clean is an adjective. So one's a verb, one's an adjective. What Jesus is saying that the disciples are clean because they already have been pruned. Their lives have been changed by being with Jesus. Katharo has taken place, so they're katharos. The pruning has taken place. That's why they are clean. Their lives have been changed by being with Jesus, becoming connected to Jesus in that living relationship. Even though they don't fully understand what is about to take place, the betrayal, the crucifixion the next day, and then rising on the third day, they didn't understand. Yet Jesus declared them clean. Remember, at this time, Judas has already left the group in the upper room. Judas left during John chapter 13. Judas is not one of those disciples Jesus is declaring clean. The reason Jesus declares the disciples clean was by reason of the word Jesus had spoken to them. The words Jesus had spoken to them, the word Jesus spoke is what it says. And even though you see in that verse the word is singular, the meaning there in verse 3 is much more. Dialogos, by reason of, dia, by reason of logos, the word. The things Jesus spoke to them all those years together, the teaching, the examples, the signs, the wonders, the times of quoting the scriptures, all of them are wrapped up in that one word. By reason of the word, the disciples were pruned and made clean by the content of the message of that word Jesus spoke to them. And the simplest way to sum up that message is forgiveness of sin. forgiveness of sin. The very purpose Jesus came was to bring forgiveness of sin. For wrapped up in that word translated as clean is the Levitical sense of ceremonial clean and also the ethical sense of free from guilt and sin. The disciples have been pruned and made clean. Levitically and ethically. Clean. This clean came to be by the Word. And what that means for you and I, we need to learn the Word. Because it's found only in Scripture. That Word in the Scripture. It is the writings of the Old Testament. The writings of the New Testament. They are the Word written by the Father for the purpose to prune our hearts and bring us to the Son, to graft us into the vine by faith. The Word we read and the Word we live out in obedience. Not saying that that Word is old and out of date and no longer applies. Instead saying, for the Old Testament Scripture, New Testament Scripture, it's all Scripture, it's all Word of God. I don't fully understand why the Father wrote as He wrote. But I will live by faith in obedience to that Word so that I am a branch firmly connected to Christ Jesus, the vine. That's what we're called to do. We don't have to understand, but we take it as the Word of God so that we are a branch firmly connected to Jesus Christ, the vine, and we live by faith in obedience to that Word. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. John writes years later, "We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man who says, 'I know Him,' but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did." John wrote, a claim to live in Christ, it must be seen as walking as Jesus walked. It means living out the fullness of the faith of Jesus Christ. It's much more than the fad that was years ago asking WWJD. And that WWJD was inspired by the 1896 book In His Steps by Charles Sheldon. Now the problem with WWJD, what would Jesus do, is the people answering the question, what would Jesus do, answered in the way of love. But they were defining love in what the current cultural context considered love to be. The problem was the ones answering the question, what would Jesus do, didn't know Jesus. So how could they answer what would Jesus do? They didn't understand. Jesus died on the cross for sin. Because for them, there was no such thing as sin. In many cases, they said, that's not sin. What would Jesus do? Love. You see, they didn't know Jesus, so they couldn't answer WWJD. And that fad is pretty well passed behind us. They didn't understand. But to put it another way, what happened was political correctness was more often driving the force behind the love answer, they decided, than the Word of God, whose great compassion and loving answer was no to most of that behavior, no to sin. Because as you know, for in the end, the wages of sin is death. And setting a person on the way to death, that is no loving answer. In other words, you need to be connected to the vine to become like Jesus. Connected to the vine, Jesus will change your life. As I was thinking about this, I was noticing, you know, we really do not see the transformation in the lives of the disciples over those 3 years they were with Jesus. We know they left their boat and they left the tax collector's booth. We know they left home and all those other things. But what we really don't get to see is how their demeanor and how their temperaments became different. The change really becomes noticeable for us in the book of Acts after the Holy Spirit has come at Pentecost. The leaders of the Sanhedrin had noticed the change, recorded in Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. The Sanhedrin, this is after Jesus healed the paralytic and they were held in over jail overnight. The Sanhedrin then told him, "Don't you speak of Jesus anymore. We can't deny the healing because there's the man up and walking, but you cannot speak in Jesus." John and Peter answered with boldness. Acts chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourself whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." They would not shut up about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus crucified and risen. In that name of Jesus, they were connected to the vine. John chapter 15, verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." This fruit has to do with living out the gospel of Jesus Christ, as the disciples did, the sacrificing and embracing of the servant role to bring the grace of God into other people's lives, to demonstrate the love of God, the love of Jesus, by giving ourselves away, humbly serving others so they will come to know Jesus Christ. That's bearing fruit, so others can come to know Jesus Christ. John chapter 15, verse 7. "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you." Given to you. Wow. Ask whatever you wish, it'll be given to you. You know, that is very often misunderstood. Misunderstood to mean, I will get whatever I ask Jesus for. And they overlook and plainly ignore the precondition, remain in me and my words remain in you. That means what you're asking for flows from a life connected to Jesus, intimately connected to Jesus, to what you are asking. For what flows from that life is intertwined with the life of Jesus. Asking for resources to do ministry, that is worthy of asking. Asking for a new car, well, it could be worthy of asking for a new car if you're asking for a car that will be useful in transporting people for ministry purposes. Now, if you're asking something for yourself, selfishly desiring for yourself, it's not worth asking for. This is one of my favorites, and honestly, I did this in the past. Perhaps you have too. Give me the lottery numbers. A Mega Millions worth of 500 million, almost a billion. You know, Lord, I'll give you half of it. But in all honesty, the number of lives that have been destroyed by winning the lottery. In all honesty, the number of lives destroyed by gambling addiction. Would it be worthy of what that verse says to ask for those numbers? How is that serving others and doing ministry? The asking must be in line with living in Jesus in such a manner it shapes who you are and what you are becoming. That asking is in line with the will of God. a prayer worthy of being asked in Jesus' name. Think on that. Is your prayer worthy of being asked in Jesus' name? If it seek to be a servant to others so they know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that is worthy of being asked in Jesus' name. John chapter 15, verse 8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. It comes down to this, the Father's glory, bearing fruit for the glory of God. Remember during baptisms, we light a candle and we hand it to the newly baptized. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Those words are from Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Bearing fruit, letting your light shine, is for the Father's glory. Not your glory, the Father's glory. And it's about showing yourself to be a disciple. Being a disciple, walking down a dusty road, and you hear a chariot going by, and you hear the scripture, and you call out, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The chariot stops. "No, I don't. Will you explain it to me?" And Philip gets in the chariot and starts riding. He explains the meaning of the Word of God. And Philip explains from the Scriptures. And the explaining of the meaning leads this heart to know Jesus Christ. The next thing you know, there's water. Let's be baptized. And then after being baptized, Philip is taken up by the Spirit and placed down in another place. Wow, that must have been a journey. Taken up and placed down. And he was placed in that other place by the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel. He went preaching the gospel in the new place he was sent to. Show the world you're a disciple. Tell the world you're a Christian. Show the world you are a Christian. This past Friday afternoon, evening, we're in Dayton at Marion's Pizza. So my birthday girl, Marissa, could have a meal with Grandma and Grandpa eating Marion's Pizza. And Heather and I and Aria, we sat in another section so Grandma and Grandpa could be with Aria, and we were over the other section. We wanted Marion's Pizza too. I mean, we drove down there, might as well get pizza. So we sat and enjoying our pizza, and then I saw a man come walking in with a t-shirt, and on the t-shirt it said, "Jesus is." I couldn't see the bottom half of the t-shirt because Marion's is divided in sections and with brick walls and gate iron gate railings and so on, so it covers up about halfway up about the person's back, so I couldn't see the bottom half, "Jesus is." But when I saw the last words, I was deeply saddened. The word was a swear word. It was sacrilege. It was profanity. And I asked God to have mercy on the man. And I asked God, what happened to him to break his heart so badly to hate Jesus so much? It was not a good word. Then I saw he had a son. Maybe third or fourth grade. And I prayed for that little boy. I prayed for that young man because he has a father that would wear such a shirt in a public place in the first place. The father was wearing it unashamedly in public. And so I just, inside I was breaking for the man. What happened in his life that he would hate Jesus so much? And what is he teaching his boy? I prayed many, many times. On the way home in the van, my girl started singing. And I heard, "Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me." And they just sang the whole song from memory. And when that song was done, not missing a single word, all from memory, they began, "Over all the earth, you reign on high, every mountain stream." And they sang the whole song of Lord, Reign in Me, both verses and the choruses from memory, bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. Now back to that glitter on the carpet in the fellowship hall. I'll tell you, the glitter's there because we loved a young girl many years ago through our TNT ministry. And that young girl grew up and had a girl of her own, and years later, the memory of our love moved her to bring her daughter to day camp last summer to us, to pour our love into her life. And then day camp went so well, she brought her special girl to TNT this past fall, and we poured our love and our life into her so much that she just had to sing, "I Just Want to Be a Sheep," at the talent show and overnight for TNT, making Jesus real in the family's life. Her birthday was coming up, and we were asked if they could use the fellowship hall for a birthday party, and we said, "Oh yes, you're part of the family of faith in Christ. Yes, use the fellowship hall." And then it was shared with us that this young girl has invited her whole class to a birthday in years past, and only one would show up and come. We wanted to make sure that didn't happen this year. Many TNTers came to her party. That fellowship hall was filled with people, children and adults, pouring love into a family to make the day extra special. And that is why there is glitter in the carpet. And you should have seen the glitter before the vacuum tried to get it out. I want you to go see the glitter at the stairs up front near the exit door. And when you see the glitter, I want you to lift up a prayer, thanking God that we are bearing fruit for the Lord. Because that's what it is, fruit for the Lord. Amen.